Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Federation. Joining me today is Remmel Tenney, our Education Director. Welcome, Remmel.
Hi, Maria. So good to be here.
It's so good to have you with us today, Remmel. Remmel, can you explain what is your role at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation?
Yes. So I work as the education director at the Federation, which means I try to bring awareness to pro-life issues, especially what's happening right now currently in our state, in the nation, and where we are with our medical systems, things like that. So a lot of it requires me to be educated on current affairs that is pro-life related, and then disseminating that information to people across Pennsylvania. So I do that through social media. I do that through online newsletters, through a blog. We also have a podcast called Positively Pro-Life Podcast. So we have guest interviews. A lot of our interview guests are people who have been working or who are very active in the pro-life movement. So we interview them about current issues that are happening. So that's most of what I do. We also put up tables and we go to different places and speak about pro-life issues, schools, high schools, colleges, communities, churches, wherever we're invited. So that's the bulk of my job.
And you do such a fine job of it. Now, tell me, what is the part of your job that you like the most?
Well, I really enjoy reading a lot, and I'm a very curious person by nature, especially when it comes to a certain subject. I love to read up about it and kind of go in depth and try to understand the whole picture rather than just bits. So I really enjoy being able to do that at my job in order to understand more on these issues, more on abortion, more on what is happening politically, what does the medical journal say about it. The same with euthanasia. So I just love reading and finding out more about issues. So I get to use that creatively and share that information with the world. So that's something that I really enjoy doing, just putting together things that make sense. Also just finding relevant information so other people don't have to do that. So I'll just maybe read a few things and find out what is the best, what's something that is relatable for someone who may be not as passionate but still wants to know what is happening in the pro-life world today. So that's my favorite part. Along with that is also having conversations with people. I've had multiple opportunities in the past few months to speak with people, and I've always enjoyed hearing stories about how they are pro-life or why they became pro-life. So this my job allows me to do things like that.
Wonderful. Now, you recently staffed a table at a festival in Shippensburg. What was that event like?
Wow, that was a really good event. It was a Christian music fest in Shippensburg, and there were a lot of people, some of them who had come very early in the morning on Saturday and just camped out there. So it was a 2-day music fest, and we had a lot of kids and adults, and like you saw the whole range of people there. And something very beautiful about that event was how I didn't get to participate in the event itself, the fest itself, but I was a vendor. So I had a table, a pro-life table. It's part of the Federation there. And I just saw so many people who walked up to us and just said, "Hey, this is such a great job. This is such a good job that you're doing." And I just kept hearing stories and stories of people and their lives and how they have been pro-life or the mistakes they've made, but what they've learned from it. I just really enjoyed the conversation.
Give me an example of one of those stories or a few of those stories you can share.
Yeah, so I think my favorite ones were people who came up to me and said, "I chose life for my baby." Like those were the words that they said. There was one woman who just came up and she said, "I chose life for my baby." And then we talked, and she shared that the doctor had found when she, it was a third child, and the doctor had found when the baby was 12 weeks in the womb. So that is a really small, I mean, the baby is really tiny, but at that stage, the doctor was able to find that the child had a heart defect. There was the heart was her, her heart was not working well, and so he told the parents that this would be a good stage to abort the baby because her heart is not working very well. And this family, this young mother, she said, "I'm not aborting my baby. I will carry my baby to term, and you are going to do everything you can to help my child live, and I'm going to fight for my baby." And they've been fighting for her life, but the baby is 5 years old now. She's a young little girl who was running around at the fest on at the grounds, and she's had multiple heart surgeries, but this beautiful little girl, just full of joy, running around there, and a very proud mother. So that was one of the most heart touching stories that I had. I got to experience and witness. I had two other people who came up and said, "I chose my life for my baby," and I saw these 16, 17-year-old, one was a girl and one was a boy, two different families. The doctors predicted that they would not be able to get up, like they would have to lie in bed their entire lives if they were to be born. But the parents again said, "No, we're going, it doesn't matter. We're choosing life for this baby." And they're standing, they're walking, they're talking. The doctors themselves are like, this shouldn't be real. Like, this is not possible." And yet here they are 16, 17 years later, just standing up and saying that my life is worth it. My life is valuable. And I'm so glad that my parents chose life. So I had these interactions with both the parents and the kids. Another woman came up and said that she saw, so we were giving away the 10 to 12 week fetal models. And this woman walked up and she picked one of them up and she said, "I was that someone gave me a baby model 20 years ago outside of Planned Parenthood. I walked out of there that day and had my baby. I gave the baby up for adoption. I don't know where they are, but I'm so grateful for that person who gave me this, and this truly works." So, stories like that, there were just so many that I got to hear and witness, see real life. It's not even a story, but this is real life, that these are real people. And this reminds me of what our podcast guest, not this week's, but the last week's guest, Alexandra DeSantis, said when you asked her about hope for the world, she said, "There's one more person, the people who would never have been born, they walking around, that there's hope for the world when you see them." So I had that moment. I had several of those moments at the fest.
That's terrific. Now, what was it like to attend the National Right to Life Convention in Pittsburgh this past summer?
That was another great event. That was an educational event, so very different from this one, but I got to listen to a lot of seminars. I got to hear, meet a lot of people who have been in this fight for, I believe, decades. Some of them from the very beginning, from the early 80s, who have been fighting for life, who have been fighting to see Roe overturned. And so I had the opportunity to speak with many of them, about what their experiences were. I also got to learn a lot about the pro-life, about the history of the pro-life movement, what has been happening, what is happening right now, both with euthanasia, pro-life. And then we just had these great speakers, keynote speakers, who were just an amazing witness of what authentic manhood, masculinity, and leaders of families and excel in their fields, standing up and saying, these men standing up and saying that we need to protect life. And to me, those were very, very, I think the world needs to see more of it, to know that this is not about just rights, women's rights. It's a human life issue, and that we have people, we need men and women to fight for it. So it was a beautiful, I think it was a beautiful celebration of life, celebration of the reversal of Roe. So it happened on Dove's anniversary. So that was first anniversary. So that was pretty cool too.
And what can you tell us about our winning oratory contestant?
So Pennsylvania, we have an oratory contest every year, and our winner from Pennsylvania went on to participate in the National Right to Life Convention that was held in Pittsburgh earlier this year. And she did a brilliant job. There were about 20, 23 contestants, I believe, from across the nation who had come together. Everybody delivered very good messages, brilliant. Each of them had their own styles, and you could see there was a very tight competition. But I'm so proud to say that Claire Caulfield from Pennsylvania went on to win the oratory contest at the national level, and she spoke about defending pregnancy centers while also saying giving very good reasons why abortion clinics are illegal, or legal but unethical, and so should be made illegal. So that was the winning oratory contest, and it was amazing. And I'm so glad to see how she went from delivering it well to better to good to like the best at the end of the banquet. When she gave her winning speech to all of the audience present there, and she had a standing ovation, and I think we couldn't have been prouder of her.
That's definitely true. And if students are interested in taking part in our oratory contest, what should they do?
So we have our contest again this year. We have the details given on our website. So you can go on www.paprolife.org. That's www.paprolife.org. So if you go on there, you will find our contest flyers. You have the speech contest and the essay contest. There are rules, there's a cover page there. So you can just go on there and click the images on the homepage. You scroll down, you find the homepage. On the homepage, you'll find the images, the posters. Click on it, and it will download the cover and the guidelines for you. All you have to do is write a short essay about, sorry, not essay, the speech. You just have to record a 5 to 7 minute video of you talking about any one subject. That could be abortion, pro-life related subject. That could be abortion, euthanasia, infanticide, stem cell research, assisted suicide. So these are the topics. So yeah, if you want to make your voice heard and be a pro-life voice for the voiceless, go on there, click that link and submit.
You are also in charge of our annual essay contest. What makes a good pro-life essay?
I think an essay which reflects the convictions of the writer, which brings out what the writer truly believes, and maybe something that adds to it. So we have it could be any way that I would say that everyone has a different style. So a good essay comes from the heart, but also it comes from doing really good research on this on the topic and finding out what is current. I think that when you have done your homework, you would start to see things of how maybe the past is affecting the present. So you could do some research about how the pro-life movement came to be, how abortion came to be legal, things like that, and then kind of tie in with what is present and current right now. I would say choose topics that are relevant to this day. Life is relevant every day, so that you wouldn't find something you wouldn't find anything. I mean, you would be able to find something to talk about, but as if you can have you if you write down your convictions very clearly while also making sure that your in the information you provide is accurate, I think that makes a good winning essay. As long if you are able to persuade your readers to the cause. That's another mark of a good essay.
That is so good to know. You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. Joining us today is Remmel Tenney, Education Director for the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Remmel, you're working on revamping our website. What can people expect on the new site?
Yes, we are so excited to be working on a new website. I think what we, the goal is to make navigation on it easier so we can find all the relevant information and very easily. I think one of the things that we want to do is also get creative with the website and make it optically engaging. But you can just come and find what you need, find what you're looking for. Students can find the contests. We have educational resources. We have chapters that you could join. So all of the information is going to be streamlined in a way that is going to be very easy to use. So that's what we're looking at. Also, just on the other side, I think it will help me because we're using a new platform. I think that will help me also to get a little creative. So I'm looking forward to that on my end.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. What is PA Lifelinks and why is it important?
So I had mentioned earlier that I put out an online newsletter every day. So that's what we call PA Lifelinks. This is a newsletter that I put together at the end of the week with all the relevant information, especially what's happening in the pro-life world today or that week. So I usually try to go find information, news perspectives, educational pieces, medical journals, any information, educational as well as current news and articles that give you. That help you grow in your knowledge of what's happening. I put it all together and I send it out in a newsletter. So which will, if you sign up for it, it will come directly to your email. That's also a place where I put out events that either our federation is doing or that some of our chapters are doing. So if you're looking for a pro-life event close to where you are, and you want information about it, well, one place is the website. You can always find it on our website, but then you can also have that information delivered to you in your inbox through our newsletter. So that's one. And then we have petitions and any important alerts, any action that you can take to fight for the pro-life cause in this state. So right now we're fighting for real alternatives. To save the Real Alternatives program that caters to pregnant women across the state through various pregnancy resource centers and maternity homes. So the alert for that, what can you do? You can call up representatives. You can call the governor's office and leave them a message about how this program is important. So things like that will be sent through the newsletter. So if you sign up for it, you can keep up with what is happening in Pennsylvania. In so many ways. So that's most of what PA Lifelinks has to offer. And then every once in a while you'll find something fun, an educational video, maybe a person's testimony. So yeah, so go on our website and sign up for the newsletter. It's called PA Lifelinks.
Definitely. And what has been your favorite blog post to date?
I think my favorite one has been a very simple one that I had written, my very first one. It has a simple message, but I think it's a message that has been lost. And it's just about how pregnancy is the sign of a healthy reproductive system. So when people are talking about abortion as healthcare, the falseness of it shows because, we know that there is treatment for infertility, and we know there's treatment infertility from, I mean, that is a time when you go to the doctor because you're like, I'm not able to get pregnant. So you try to find out why. And that's when you know that your reproductive system needs help, or it needs healthcare. But to turn something so healthy and so beautiful in a woman into a healthcare that is destructive, I think we're missing the point. So I know that right now the governor has been talking, I mean, he's been tweeting multiple times that abortion is healthcare, but really it is not, because pregnancy is a sign of a well-functioning reproductive system in a woman. So that was the article that I had written, and it's called Reproductive Justice or Entitlement, because it delves into why we would label something healthy as unhealthy. Maybe it is because of something else, like consequences that we are not willing to face. So that would be my favorite blog post so far.
It was a great blog post. Now, as we mentioned before, you have a podcast of your own, Positively Pro-Life. Who have been some of your most memorable guests?
Well, I do want to point out that you co-host with me. So we do it together, and it's I think we've had some really good guests on the show, especially lately. There are just too many to choose from, but my personal favorites would be strong women who have spoken. And I say this because these are young, brilliant women who could be doing something else, but are instead fighting for the pro-life cause and using their gifts and talents. So I think one of my favorite ones from recent times is Alexandra DeSantis. I mentioned her earlier as well, but she has written a book called Tearing Us Apart: How Abortion Solves Nothing, Harms Everything, and Solves Nothing. So we had a very good conversation with her, where we delved into the issue of abortion from a social angle, from the influence of sexual revolution on the abortion issue. So we had a very good conversation with her. A few of my other favorites, I think I really enjoyed our interview with Olivia Gans-Turner. So she heads the Virginia's Respect Life, or National Right, they're the state affiliate from National Right to Life in Virginia. And she had some really good things to say as well about how we need to focus on the women. We care about unborn babies, but we also have to care about the women, and we need to be able to articulate that and help women in that position. So by helping women, we help children. So those are two of my favorite. I have so many more. I think every guest has given me so much, a wealth of information, things that I would not have known. And I, like I shared, I'm just curious. So I really enjoy getting the opportunity to ask questions in their respective fields, and really hear and find out what they know. I mean, yeah, just the wisdom that they have to impart. I really appreciate that.
Now, what advice do you have for Generation Zers and millennials about becoming involved in the pro-life movement?
Don't be afraid to speak up. There is a quote, I forget who said it, but it goes along the way of speak up even if your voice shakes. And I think that's very important. I remember being a young girl in school, college, and also just when I was working in a secular, just in corporate world, where it was hard to talk about some of these issues because of how polarizing it is, and how some people find it offensive, or just there's just a negative reaction to it that you experience. So I'm starting to learn that it's okay to speak up. I mean, the point of it to engage is to engage in a conversation, not to be confrontational, but to have a healthy discussion. And I'm starting to realize that a lot of people are open to that, even if they don't agree with you. So, but I think a discussion helps to explore ideas. So it could just plant a seed that might grow in that person's heart at a time when you least expect it, when they least expect it. So So don't be afraid to have the conversations if you want, and that could be wherever you're at. If you're in school, if you're in college, speak. Don't be afraid to speak to your peers. Not they may not like it. They may I don't know, avoid you or avoid that subject when it comes up. But I think the very pr the fact that we've been given the privilege to have this life makes us worthy of being witnesses to it. So my advice would be don't be afraid and put things out on social media. If you cannot create something, just copy paste and share it. Make sure that you share your convictions to the world because social media is a big place that people are doing that right now. They've been and that's also a very effective platform because you will reach people that you will otherwise not reach. And even if you are unable to have those conversations directly with the people in your life, putting it on social media at least exposes them to the convictions that you have about the pro-life movement. So those are two things that I'd say.
We've got about a minute left. Can you tell us how can people reach out to you?
Sure. You can, if you want to find more information or just have a conversation, you could always call us at the office. Our phone number is on our website. There's also a way that you could send us an email through our website. And my personal email or my work email is lifelines@paprolife.org. So you could also send me an email and I will respond to you. We also have social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can reach out to us on.
That's terrific. I want to thank Remmel Tenney, Education Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, for being with us today. Thank you so much, Remmel.
Thanks for having me, Maria.
And I want to remind people that we have our Celebrate Life Banquet October 28th at the Hershey Lodge. For more information about that, go to our website at www.paprolife.org. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director for the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life. We'll see you next time, everybody. Take good care of yourself.